Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well. So here we are. We're in the last of the Advent season, the last week of Advent. So that's kind of crazy. We're all kind of wondering where this year went. Amen? Right? December 20th, you know what that means? 10 more days and this crazy year is over. Come on, you guys should be cheering. I mean, come on, really? But welcome. It is good to be here together. It's good to have those who are joining us online. And so it's great to have you guys here with us. And as we get ready to just kind of get into God's word and find out what he has for us. You know, it's been quite a year. And getting ready for this morning, I was actually looking back at the message that I shared at the beginning of this year. So that was January 5th. 2020, and if you want to go back and check it out, it was an interesting sermon. Especially, this was the sermon that was starting the year that none of us saw coming, right? And so, looking back at it, I just wanted to see, you know, what was God saying at the beginning of this thing? And I was preaching out of the 23rd Psalm. For many of us, that's a psalm that we know. It's the one that starts, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." And I was thinking about what was the process in my thinking that led me to bring that message on that day. And I remember at the time just feeling that God really wanted me to bring that message based on that passage to this congregation on that week, to start this year. And I wasn't exactly sure why. In fact, I would preach on the 23rd Psalm later in the year as a part of a series that we were doing. But I just felt like God really put that on my heart that week. And I want to read some excerpts out of that for you, because I just found this interesting. Listen to what really God was saying to us 50 weeks ago. "Have you ever been in darkness where you literally cannot see your hand in front of your face? It's fun for a while, but very quickly it becomes unnerving. For a short time, you're sure that you remember everything that was in place when the lights were on. But after a few minutes, you start worrying that you may not have been paying attention very well at all." In Psalm 23:4, the psalmist talks to us about what he calls the valley of the shadow of death. "A deep valley, dark night, no moon, no stars, only one big, continuous, impenetrable shadow. And metaphorically, we are like those sheep in that valley because literally, we are constantly living in the shadow of, the imminent presence of, and the constant threat of death. And because of the dark shadow that death casts on our lives, we constantly are on the edge that at any moment something or someone with a malicious intent might come crashing in and ruin us or drag us off into the dark. We start to worry that we don't know as much as we thought we did, or at least not as much as we need to now that we realize how dark it really is." Psalm 23 doesn't let us forget how dark things are in this broken, unpredictable, and uncontrollable world. But it also reminds us that we are not alone in that darkness. With us is the one who does have the power, his rod, and does have the reach, his staff, to bring us through that darkness and into the lush green pastures and still waters that revive our souls instead of draining our souls like this valley that we are in. And we can be sure that as a shepherd, he would not have brought us on that path through this valley if it weren't the best path to get to the best pastures and the stillest waters that he knows of. Because his name is on the line. His name as our excellent, our competent, our good shepherd. You know, when I wrote those words a year ago, I had no idea that this whole year, we would literally be walking in the shadow of death. I had no idea in preparing those words of the unexpected twists and turns that we would be taking this year. I had no idea, but our shepherd knew. Our God knew where we would be going. In fact, the thing that he wanted us to know, I believe that he was preparing us for the year that we just went through. That there are times that he goes before and he says, get ready, it's gonna be rough. But the thing he wanted us to know is that, you know what? I'm going to be with you the whole way. I will be with you in it. And I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this because this is the thing that came out as I looked back at that. He wanted us to know that even at the beginning, before we had ever started the journey, he knew that we would be right here, right now. In fact, he has traveled ahead so that he could not only be with us, but in the way that only he can do, he is here to meet us as we arrive, so we know that this didn't take him off guard at all. And whether it be through a sign or through looking at an old sermon, he wants us to know, you know what? I led you through. I knew where we were going, and I was going to meet you there when you got there. Amen? I want us to keep that in mind as we get into God's word together today, as we look at that story that was read for us earlier out of the book of Luke, because today we're finishing up the Christmas story. We started out looking at this story as we looked at the surprise of the unexpected call. Right? We got into the middle of that story as we looked at the surprise of the unexpected pause and the surprise of the unexpected detour. And we looked at how the middle of our lives. Well, I want to look today at something that I think at the end of this very surprising and unexpected year, I think one of the most surprising and unexpected things that God wants us to know about his story, but also his story in and through our lives. And that is the surprise of the unexpected ending. As we get into this, I think this is such an important thing that God has, I mean, he has set this up for a year. So if you would just take a moment and let's pray together and get our hearts ready to hear God's word. Father, we want to come to you because, you know, honestly, this is beyond us. You are the one who knows the end from the beginning. We don't. You are the one who can give us a word that prepares us for the next day, that prepares us for the next week, the next month, the next season, the next year. You are capable of that, God. We're not. But that's the word that we know that we need to hear. Just like we needed that word at the beginning of this year, Father, we know for whatever we're getting into, we need your word. And so we are here waiting to hear from you. And Father, I know that my prayer has always been that I would be a vessel for you to speak your word, your message to your people, because they need to hear from you today. But Father, I know that you know me. I know you know that you know who I am, you know how I'm wired, you know where I'm broken. So this morning, Father, I'm like a child. I'm like a child that's standing in the dark. All I want to do is get close enough to you to hear what you have to say, to pass it on. So I pray this morning you would overrule, as you do, that you would overrule my ability to miss the point. You would overrule our ability at times to just, we're your sheep. Overrule the reality that we're standing in the dark and we can't even see our hands in front of our faces at times. Father, overrule all the brokenness and the sin that still live in our lives, that still have hold of us. Father, overrule that so that we might hear you clearly this morning. Show us your goodness. Surprise us with the message of the ending that is in store, but also the greatest surprise that we will find in that ending. We pray that your word will change us this morning. So, Father, take your word, speak it to us clearly. In the name of your Son, Jesus, through the power of your Spirit. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go way back here. I'm going to ask you guys, I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie The Sixth Sense. I'm going back 1999 here, so this is last century. This is a long time ago, right? But that movie, the reason I bring it up is because that movie, out of all the movies that I have ever seen, that movie has the biggest surprise ending I have. It shocked me the first time. You're thinking, I gotta go back and watch this whole thing again to see how this worked. It rattles you the first time that you see it. There are other movies I've seen that have tried to get that kind of impact, that have tried to have that kind of twist. None of them have really come close in my mind to that. But it reminds me, we love surprise endings, don't we? Well, as long as they're not in our lives, right? Big surprises come up, as long as they're not like pandemics and stuff like that, it's all good. But we love, in fact, that twist at the end, that's what makes a great punchline in a joke. That's what makes a great last act of a play. That's what makes a great lyric for a song, is when they have that twist and all of a sudden, wow, that was amazing. How did they get there? Well, in the story of Christmas, God has this amazing twist. He always has this amazing twist at the end, this thing that we're not expecting. It shows us that he's God. It shows us that he's an amazing story writer, history teller. So I want to look at the story that we read today, because what I want to look at and I want to look for is I want us to see the surprise, not just for the story, but also because this is how God works in our lives, but the surprise of that unexpected ending. In the verses that were read earlier out of the book of Luke, Mary and Joseph, they have already started their journey because they already have experienced, received that unexpected call. They were surprised by that back in Bethlehem. They're in the midst of what we talked about, that unexpected pause, because they're down in Bethlehem at this point. Up in Nazareth is where they received the call. Don't know if I got that right, but Bethlehem, they're in their pause. They haven't yet gone into that unexpected detour that was talked about, that Cheryl talked about last week, right? They haven't gone down to Egypt and all that. So they're in this pause in Bethlehem. And while they're in Bethlehem, Jesus is born. Now, to a Jewish couple, typical Jewish parents at this time, there are certain things you did when your child was born. And so immediately, Mary and Joseph, they go into this Jewish parent mode. And in verse 21, it tells us, so as a result of that, on the eighth day, they brought Jesus. They brought him to be circumcised. They brought him to be circumcised, and they also made his name known to everyone on that eighth day. And so they told everyone, yes, his name is Jesus, Yeshua. Now, I want you to keep that name in mind, because that name literally means salvation in Hebrew. Okay, and that's going to come up later. But here he is, and they say, this is Jesus. And then they go into this extended period of 22 more days where Mary is, it says, because following in verse 22, it says, after the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, then they brought Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, what happened was you realize that God gave his people all kinds of commands and ordinances. Keep them safe, keep them healthy, keep their society and their culture together, keep their communities tight, right? And so one of those areas that he has spoken to them about was childbirth. And so when you had a firstborn son, it said you're going to take 22 days after that time, and the mother is not going to go out and do her typical stuff. She's not going to go out and get the water. She's not going to do, you know, all this interaction with her friends and in the community and getting stuff done as a mom. She's not going to do that. Instead, she is going to seclude and kind of isolate herself for 22 days. And instead, the dad's going to go out and do all the interactions. So for about a month. Now, those were what were called the days of their purification. So he's saying a month later, after all this is done, then what the mother does is they go up to the temple and they offer a couple of sacrifices of doves and pigeons and that type of thing. And then she reengages in her busy life as a mother. And she reengages in her busy life as a wife and as a member of that community. She re-enters all that. That is most of what's talked about in verses 22 through 24. But there's one line at the end of that verse, of verse 22, that stands out, and it's different because it says they brought Jesus up to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Now, usually what would happen when you have a firstborn child, you would bring him up and you would pay a redemption price for that firstborn son. And the reason was, you go all the way back in their history, You go back to where God had redeemed them out of Egypt. He had rescued them out of slavery in Egypt as a nation, probably 1,500 years earlier, before Jesus is born, through Moses and all that. And when he did that, there were the 10 plagues, and there was the Red Sea and all that. The 10th plague, the angel of death went through all of Egypt, and the blood wasn't on your door, and you can look at the details in the book of Exodus, the firstborn child died. The firstborn of all the cattle, the firstborn of all the humans, the firstborn died throughout all of Egypt, unless you had the blood covering the door, the blood of the Passover. As a result, God said, you know what? The firstborn that I spared because of the blood, they're really mine. But instead of taking each of the firstborn, I'm going to take this whole tribe of the Levites. They're going to be my priests, but you are going to redeem your firstborn child. Every firstborn child. So typically after a firstborn child, son is born, they'd go up to the temple, they'd pay a redemption price to buy that child, redeem that child from God. Okay, so pay the price of redemption. Well, instead it says, that's not what happens. Instead, Mary and Joseph go up and it says they dedicate Jesus to God. Anybody reading this in the first century that understood all that was supposed to take place, anybody that would have been shocking. That would have been a surprise. Why did they do that? Because instead of going up and buying Jesus, their son, from God, instead they give him to him. And they say, essentially, you know what? We're not going to take him as our son. Instead, we are dedicating him as your son. And in fact, we are going to commit ourselves to raising your child, not ours anymore. And that was very, very different. Why did they do it? Well, one was because when the angel showed up, he says, you know what? This child's going to be different. They knew from the very beginning. The angel said, this one is set apart. This one's holy. He's not gonna be yours. So from the very beginning, Mary and Joseph are going up and they're saying, yeah, he's not ours. We're taking care. We are stewarding God's gift to this world. Man, what a responsibility. Well, that would have been a surprise, right? That's a surprise. That's not even the biggest surprise of that day, because what we read about then is that there's this old guy named Simeon. And he in these verses, it tells about this man, and he's a great guy. Everybody knows it. In fact, it says that he's righteous, that he's devout. Everybody knows that this is a good man. But it says something else about him. Three times in this verse, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is mentioned. And the first one is, he was a righteous and devout man, and the Holy Spirit was on him. When people saw him, they said, man, he's a good guy. But there's also this thing that's a little different. You can tell God's with him. And then it says, and beyond that, the Holy Spirit had showed him something about what was to come, about the end of his life, the surprise ending at his life, the unexpected end that was going to happen. He says, you know what? Before you see death, you're going to see my salvation. And so they knew that the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit was with him, had showed him things. And now it says, and that day, at that time, the Holy Spirit was the one who led him to go to the temple. At that time, on that day. And so here's Simeon, and here's Mary and Joseph, and they're just carrying out this dedication of their child to God, just being good Jewish parents, being good stewards of what God has put in their hands. They're just following. They're not like under any kind of ecstatic kind of, we just felt God wanted us. No, they're just following what God said to do, kind of following the rules of this is what God said to do as good as his people. And all of a sudden this man comes up and he swoops in and he grabs their month-old boy. Just some guy. They're just this anonymous. There are crowds of people in the temple. And he zeroes in on them and he grabs their child. And then listen to the words that he says. He says, now I know that the Lord is releasing me from this life. He says, now I know I can die in peace. Because just like God said would happen, my eyes are now looking at God's salvation. Do you remember what the name Jesus meant? Remember that? It says, I am looking at salvation. at God's salvation. God's salvation, which, and I want you to remember this line too, which he planned for, which he prepared beforehand, before we ever got here. God's salvation that is now alive and kicking in my arms in the presence, and he says, of all the people. Not just God's faithful Jewish, you know, followers, not just the people in the temple, but all the people, because at that time, Jerusalem was just bustling with not just the Jewish faithful, but it was also the people, the Israelites that, you know, if you know your Old Testament history, the ones that had wandered off, the 10 tribes that had wandered out, some of them are there. The Romans have a fort set up right next to the temple. They're there. You got people from all over the world wandering through Jerusalem at this point. And Simeon says, you know what? God has made his, has revealed his salvation in the midst of all the people. And that was shocking. I mean, it would have been a shock. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe by this point, you know, Mary and Joseph are maybe a little bit used to, like, angels coming in, crashing in and telling them crazy stuff, or you know, shepherds come bursting in and say, hey, these angels showed up and your baby's the savior of the world. You know, they may be a little bit used to that, but you know, this old guy comes and grabs their son and says all this. So maybe they're a little used to it, but that had to be shocking. It has to be shocking every time. It has to be a bit surprising. But then you look at what Simeon is saying also about, he's saying, this is the surprise at the unexpected end of my life. God set me up for it, but it's still surprising. You can just hear in the words, he is surprised by this thing. Mary and Joseph are surprised that this is how that month of seclusion is gonna end, right? All of a sudden, some guy's gonna come and prophesy. It's like, man, is this ever gonna stop? They're at the end of their various journeys, and what does Simeon say? And I want you to hear those words that I said to pay attention to. He said, you know what? Before I ever started my life journey, before you ever started that journey of seclusion, that journey down to Bethlehem, that before you ever started that, God had already prepared this. This is the salvation that God prepared beforehand, before we ever got here. And he brought us together so that we could see it. He brought all the people of the world together so that they could see it. That is the surprise. That is the biggest surprise of any unexpected ending that we have in our lives, whether it's the end of a season or an end of a crazy experience or a crazy year like we have this year, that we get to the end of it and we look back and we find out, you know what? God says, you know what? I knew that was coming. And I was preparing for that before you ever started the journey to even get there. That is the biggest surprise of the unexpected ending. How often do we get to the end of a day or the end of an experience that's just been the end of this year, and we just get the feeling like, man, I don't even know if God knows where I am anymore, right? All the twists and turns that this thing has taken, it had to be confusing for him. I know it was confusing for me, right? Say, God, how in the world could you have kept up with all that? If you're not lost, I'm pretty sure at least you've lost sight of me. I mean, this has been a year of some of the most extreme kind of challenges and changes and unexpected kind of pivots and turns that most of us have ever seen. Right? None of us have ever. We have lived for the last 10 months under the threat of death, literal death. And all it would do is take the one thing that we have to do in our lives, which is breathe, right? We can get on for weeks without food. We can get along for days without water. We can get along for minutes without breath. And yet that's the thing that has been a threat to us. And we have lived this whole year under that stress. We have lived out this whole year where we have seen our economy be twisted and bent in ways we're not even sure now that it's going to recover. We're not sure what's going to happen with it. We have watched our kids have to adapt and adjust and shift again as they've been trying to figure out, how am I supposed to go to school? How am I supposed to be a kid? Am I supposed to, how long is this going to go? We've watched professionals and adults, we've watched the parents and business owners and the medical, the frontline workers. We've just watched them just work their tails off, constantly adapting, constantly pivoting, trying to just get through, navigate this year. Trying to keep hope, trying to keep lives just kind of afloat somehow. And in seeing all that, we've watched, you know, our political system just become unhinged. We've watched injustice start tearing at the fabric. But then at the end of the year, I get to the end of this year and I look back and I find out through a sermon, the guy was saying at the beginning of this year, hey, listen, I just want you to know before you get into it, when you get to the end of it, you're going to be surprised because I'm going to let you know I knew about it. I want you to know I knew about all of it. He wants us to know no matter what the it is, he knew about it before we got into it, before we even knew it was coming, that he knew about it. And he said, I will be with you in it, and I will walk you through it because you're mine. I want you to know that I have prepared a salvation for you before you even began the journey to get here. That is the surprise of the unexpected ending. That is the big surprise of the endings that are unexpected to us. You know, some of the favorite, my favorite verses, a couple of them are in, I have a lot of favorite verses. But a couple of them are in Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verses 25 and 26. Psalm 18, 25 and 26. Listen to what it says. It says, with the kind, you show yourself to be kind. With the blameless, you show yourself to be blameless. With the pure, you show yourself to be pure. And then he turns it. Here's the twist. With the crooked, you show that you can't be outmaneuvered. And it's the same word in Hebrew. It means you show yourself to be astute, but it literally means you show yourself to keep up with every turn and in fact, get ahead of them. You show yourself to be, that you can't be outmaneuvered. God cannot be outmaneuvered. We need to know that in our lives, right? That we can't do enough twisting and turning and sinning and disobeying to get away from his love. We can't outmaneuver him. He's always there, a step ahead of us to meet us and say, you ready to go home yet? You know, you ready to come back? Ready to try it a different way yet? And he wants us to know that he is not outmaneuvered by the turns and twists of this world either. When we get to the end of our story, when we get to the end of our lives, when we get to the end of the season or this year, we will find out that God says again, you know what? He will be there to meet us. And he will be there with a salvation. He says, I will show you my salvation that I've been preparing before you even knew you were on the trip. In the Old Testament, there's a name that God gives himself, Jehovah Jireh. A lot of us know that name and we know it as God who provides, but literally it means the God who sees far enough down the road to start making ready for provision before we even know we need the provision. That's what it really means. God who provides, but not just he goes, oh man, what are we going to do? I'll have to make something up. No, he sees it coming. He walks us through to it. And when we get there, his salvation is ready for us. That is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Now, I want you to know God is all about free will, but we need to know something about free will. Free will is usually what we throw into the mix that messes things up because we make a lot of boneheaded decisions, right? We make a lot of decisions that throw things off. But God, in that free will, he wants us to show his greatness too. He wants us to know about his own sovereign and undeniable ability to overrule, to overcome whatever twists and just disruptions that we throw into the mix, that he is not outmaneuvered. And his grace is never put at risk. That is his salvation. And that is what Simeon was looking down, and he says, it is amazing to me, it is shocking to me to look down and see that even in all the twists and turns and Caesar calling in decrees and getting Mary and Joseph down to Bethlehem and disobedience of people along the way and all of that, Simeon says, and still I look down and I see God's salvation in my arms kicking in the midst of all the people. He's bringing it about anyway. Amen? Man, if we need to know a word from God right now, we need that word, don't we? No matter what twists and turns come, the surprise at the unexpected end is that God says, you know what, I've been preparing the salvation before you even knew you were on the trip. He is not outmaneuvered, and we are never lost from his view. So what do we know? What do we know? What can we expect about this unexpected ending? What can we expect about, what can we learn about how to walk there with him? There's four things I want us to take home with us. The first is this: God's unexpected ending will always be bigger. God's ending that he plans will always be bigger and better than anything we ever imagined. Going to give you three scriptures on this one. The first one, 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, things which eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, which have not even entered the human imagination, God has prepared for those who love him. Second one, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do far above and beyond anything you could ask or even imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus from now on and forever. Romans 8:28, one that many of us quote and sometimes misquote, but he will work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sure, we're going to walk through the valley, but he will work all things together for the good. That is his end. It will be bigger and better than anything we can imagine. Now, it may not be what we wanted it to be, right? It may not be how we imagine it. In fact, I hope it isn't. He says it's going to be bigger and better. When Simeon meets Mary and Joseph, you know what he tells them? He says, you know what? God is going to do what all of you're hoping he would do, which is he is. He's going to save his faithful people here, the Jewish people of Judea, of the two tribes that made it through faithfully through this whole testing and went into captivity and came back. He's going to save them. Yeah, that's what everybody expects him to do. But he's going to do more. Because this is actually going to be a light for the glory of all Israel. And that includes the 10 tribes that wandered off almost 1,000 years ago, and they've been lost ever since. He's going to bring them in through Christ too. He's going to save them as well. Because the Jewish people, they were asking the question, how can God be faithful if he's not going to save Israel? He says, in Jesus, I'm going to bring them back in. And you know what else? I'm going to go further than that. Because he's also going to be a light of revelation for the Gentiles, the people that don't even know or care about God. They've been wandering for so long, they came up with their own gods. They've been in complete darkness. He says, no, he's going to be a light of revelation for them too. He's going to bring them into salvation. This is bigger than any of you ever thought. Because that's how God ends things. That's the unexpected ending. It's always bigger and better than anything that we could have ever imagined. So a question for us is, what are we expecting God to do? Because I think we're expecting a little, just small thing. God, just get me through this day. He wants to do far more than that. God, just help me to barely make it through this year. No. No, he needs us to be as ambassadors of his kingdom. He needs us to be walking in the confidence that it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if we're threatened with death itself. We'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we will trust our shepherd that he's going to walk us through that. And that his salvation will surprise us at the end. Things may not turn out the way. We may not get the bigger house or the bigger bank account or the better yard or the better. We may not get all that. But he wants to reaffirm a promise that he gave to his people in places like Jeremiah 29:11. Remember Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You know when that was given to his people? It was when they were going into captivity. I know the plans that I have for you is for your welfare and not for your calamity. They were going into captivity. He says, I know what I'm planning for you. So just walk with me. So first, God's ending will always be bigger and better than we can ever imagine. Second is God's unexpected ending. The path to get there will probably be more challenging and possibly be more painful than we had hoped. It's going to be a challenge. And he says that. He says, you know what? As a result of free will, there's a lot of landmines and barricades and walls, and there's a lot of enemies out there. There's a lot going on. So it might be frightening. It might be challenging. It might test us. He says, you may stumble. You won't fall. You may get beaten down, but you won't get overwhelmed. You won't get overcome because I will always have you. It says, though, that we have to walk through the valley of the shadow to get to the green pastures, right? He says that there is going to be this challenge. Luke 2, if you read on in the rest of Simeon's his song that continues in verse 34 and 35, he moves from talking about light and consolation to talking about sword and opposition. And you see that even, you look at the life of Jesus, you go, you know what? His life, that was a hard life to walk. But he said, this is the life I have to walk. This is the path I have to walk to for the joy that's set before him. I'll even walk through the cross because I know what's the salvation. I know what comes on the other side, but this is the path to get there. But it might be tough. And he says that the whole way through, he's going to be with us. You know, in John 16:33, he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but take courage because I've overcome the world and I'm with you. I'm with you. So the question for us, what are the challenges that we're facing? What is it that you're looking at and that's just intimidating to you right now? You're going, you're anxious about it. You're worried. You're fearful about it. What is that thing? Because God says you need to quit looking at that thing. Don't be put off by that. God hasn't abandoned you. He's walking you through it. Of course there are dangers all around the sheep that are in the valley. But he says his rod and his staff will not let those things get to them. He will not let his sheep be taken out. Now, does that mean that no Christians will ever die of COVID? No. Does that mean that Christians won't ever die of old age ever again? No. Just means that even death is not going to take us out of his hand. There's something bigger going on than that. There's something bigger and better, but the path might include some challenge and some pain. We need to know that God is with us. He was with us before this started. He was with us all the way through it. He had prepared a salvation and he will be with us. He was at the beginning of 2020, he was with us. And as we go into 2021, he's gonna still be with us. Amen? Third thing is this, the surprises. The surprise ending is there for those who walk with God in the Spirit. And I just really briefly want to encourage you guys in this because a lot of times we make this mystical walking in the Spirit. It's like Simeon, right? Simeon, and he's walking in the Spirit and he shows up at the right time at the temple and all this kind of stuff. Mary and Joseph were walking in the Spirit too. And all they were doing is they were doing the daily things that God had called them to do. That is walking in the Spirit. When we are kind to others, love our neighbor and love our children and our spouse, and when we're gentle with others and when we speak God's word, when we refrain from sin and we invest in things, even though they cost us, when we do those things, that is walking in the Spirit too. Whether or not we receive visions and words and show up at temples and have, that may not be how God's using us, but both of those are walking in the Spirit. And God says, those who walk with him in his strength and in his Spirit will reach the end, will discover the surprise at the end. And what is that surprise? This is the last thing, is this. The biggest surprise, and I'm just gonna say it again so we get it, is that when we get there, we will find that God was preparing this before we ever started the journey that got us to this place. He says it over and over again. When you get there, the biggest surprise of the unexpected ending, the year that you couldn't see coming, the biggest surprise is you're gonna get to the end of it and find out that I have been preparing for that before you ever even knew you were going into it. Because that's our God. That is our God. And when he gave us Jesus, he says, this is just one more, the biggest, but one more example that before you even knew you were in trouble, I was getting ready to get you out of it. That is my salvation. And he is alive and kicking in my arms in the presence of all the people. Amen.